from the front office.
We'll never be totally satisfied till we win the championship.
You know, we have a lot of young players on this team and new coaching staff. I think we're happy about it.
To the coach's office.
I'm enjoying the interaction with the coaches. I'm enjoying working with the players. I enjoy the process.
From the Browns of the present.
I'm thrilled to be where I'm at each and every day to play quarterback here.
I am a threat. I'm on the football field. I can possibly get that football. And when I get the football, I better strap your helmet on tight. You know, make sure all your chin straps buckled up because it'll take you for a ride.
To the Browns of the past.
Bernie Kosar joining us.
Brian Seif.
Jerry Shirk.
Clay Matthews.
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Bison pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
And we welcome you to this Football Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Once again, I apologize. Just voice isn't 100%. Struggled a little bit. Maybe struggled a lot last night with it. But it's getting better. Feeling better. The throat lozenges and various other aids are helping me get through this. But appreciate your patience and want to make this as listenable as possible. And I think it will be, because we'll have some other voices besides mine on this show. Joe Hayden, Brown standout corner. He's going to join us, going to reflect a little bit on the 2011 season, his own performance and that of the entire Browns defense, get his thoughts. We're going to break down the tight end position. Going to take a look at it, big picture, how it performed in 2011. Mostly some disappointment there. We expected bigger and better things from the tight end spot. I would say that was a general. I mean, that could apply to the whole look at the whole perspective of the entire Browns offense and particularly the passing game. But the tight end position in terms of production, not what a lot of us thought it would be before the season. And this was a team that had a tight end as its leading receiver in 2010. Didn't have that this year, but also didn't have, you know, quite that spark that we thought the position might bring. But we're going to evaluate it player by player at the spot. Nate Ehrlich from the Akron Beacon Journal covers the Browns, does an outstanding job with that, joins me, and we'll go through the tight end spot. We'll also assess the numbers at the position, the stats for the tight ends, and see what kind of story that tells in great detail. And, of course, your questions, which come to us via the Browns' official Facebook and Twitter pages, and yours truly will answer them throughout the show. And this is driven by Liberty Ford, this particular segment, as is our entire show, but our Ask Vic segment. From Twitter, at LMBast is the handle. What's your projection for when the Browns will have a winning record? Playoffs, ? My realistic projection is that this team takes significant strides in 2012. What does significant strides mean? Well, when you win four games, and if you doubled that total, it's an 8-8 season. It's likely a non-playoff season, just given what this AFC North has been about. Not quite the AFC West or the NFC West, for that matter, in terms of mediocre records resulting in playoff appearances. But I do think that this team could be as much as a 500 team within a season. And I think they could be at the playoffs realistically in 2013. Now, having said that, every year is a playoff possible year. Every year. You don't look at your program as a team, well, you know, we're going to be about halfway there next year and all the way there the following year. I'm giving you my realistic, you know, non-coaching, non-GM, non-player perspective. Ask anyone in the building. And you know what they tell you? We're going to be in the playoffs next year. Talk to DeQuell Jackson. We're a playoff team. We want to be a playoff team next year. Players aren't doing, you know, half steps and multiple year plans. That's something that those of us in the media, those of us on the outside looking in, or even on the inside as I am in the middle of the building, can have as an opinion, but not, you know, moving the chess pieces around or picking the players or deciding the fate of the franchise. But fans, you know, that's what we do. Brian, via Facebook, asks, Did Trent Richardson, by the way, I just didn't want to cough in your ear there. Did Trent Richardson show enough in last night's game, and of course the national championship, BCS Alabama, this is the Alabama running back against LSU, for the Browns to consider selecting him with the number 4 overall pick? My take on that, Trent Richardson certainly looked really good, had close to, 100 yards, had a touchdown. I would never make an evaluation on any player based on one game, even if it is the national championship game. But I've got a kind of my personal sense of running backs is I'm not comfortable taking one within the top 5 of a draft. I'm just not. I just have watched this position evolve and watched teams find really good ones without investing that kind of a pick. And I just keep thinking Arian Foster, just as one example. But there are others, multiple others, who have had excellent years and who have not been exceptionally high picks. Speaking of running backs, Joe via Facebook, do you expect Peyton Hillis to put up pre-Madden cover numbers next year? And will it be with us? I would say to this, probably not. I think he had obviously had the exceptional year in 2010. I don't anticipate him doing that. I'm not going to say forever, but I don't anticipate that happening again. It was extraordinary. He is a guy, injuries caught up with him last year, collision-style runner, big power runner. That tends to happen. And I'm skeptical about him being, returning to the Browns. That's the reality of that. All right. We are just getting started, and I promise you I'll make this through. We are just getting started here. You're saying, oh, my God, Vic. No, we are just getting started, and we are going to roll along with this show in a couple of minutes, a conversation with standout Browns cornerback Joe Hayden. On Cleveland Browns Daily, it's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty is in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Bama Heights, Vermillion.
I am Bernie Kosar, and I'm proud to say that I am from Northeast Ohio. I'm proud to have worn the Cleveland Browns uniform, and proud to have played before the best fans in the world. Likewise, Discount Drug Mart, proud to have served the people of Ohio for over 40 years, offering a wide range of products, convenient locations, and money-saving prices. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. Remember, Discount Drug Mart saves you the runaround.
You find everything you need.
Looking for more than a song on your birthday? How about a whole concert? Get a free ticket to the Cleveland House of Blues during your birthday month when you join the First Merit Birthday Club. Be one of the first 15,000, and you'll get a $25 voucher toward dinner, too. Just visit firstmerit.com/birthday for complete details. So log on and rock on with the First Merit Birthday Club. First Merit Bank. You first. Must be a First Merit customer with online banking to join. Full terms apply. See firstmerit.com/birthday for complete details. Member FDIC.
When Lexus launched the RX, it was the original luxury crossover. And then, following its success, our competitors began to introduce their own version. But over the years, one thing has become clear. While the RX is often imitated, it remains impossible to duplicate. The RX didn't just set the bar for the competition, it raises it every day. From building the first luxury hybrid to offering a pre-collision system with radar technology and a class-leading 10 airbags. When innovation happens, it happens here first. Which may have something to do with why the Lexus RX also has the best rival loyalty in its class. The Lexus RX. Why settle for a copy when you can drive the original? See your Cleveland Akron area Lexus dealer.
Based on the average loyalty rate of all SUVs in the Lexus near luxury SUV segment since 2000 using our Upholz & Company's household loyalty methodology.
Bow Wow wants to give your dog the chance to pick the winner of the big game in February on NFL Roundtable during the really big show. Enter your best friend at any of the five Camp Bow Wow locations in Bedford Heights, Cuyahoga Falls, Highland Heights, Strongsville, or Westlake. The winning dog will represent Camp Bow Wow in studio on the really big show to pick who will win the big game. More prizes from Camp Bow Wow will be available as well. Be sure to enter your dog to appear on the really big show. For more information, log on to campbowwow.com.
Back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Promise I will, this voice will make it through this entire show. It's going to get stronger, not weaker, as we go on. I vow for that. You can play a little hurt and a little injured in this league. It's no big deal. I scare my producer, Dave DiNatale, when I'm hitting the cough button. He says, oh, it's a little long on the cough button. Yeah, all right, I'll shorten that up a little, Dave. I promise you that. And we are going to now talk with you and have a discussion with, or you're going to hear from, I should say, Joe Hayden, who is a standout corner, of course, for the Browns. Just getting a little reflection from him in this segment with Joe. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Pleased to have Joe Hayden with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Joe, as you reflect back, big picture on this season, what are some of your general thoughts? I'm sure it's disappointment because you expect so much more, but as we look back on what 2011 was all about, what are your thoughts?
Well, I just look at it like we had it didn't end up like we wanted to, and everybody knows that. But I feel like we had a really good team, and we have a lot to build from. I mean, we were so close to winning a lot of games this season, and a couple plays can be flipped all the way around. So I just feel like next year, coming in, going into the offseason, everybody's going to want to work that much harder. And just, you know, I just feel like we had to come in the season, honestly, with a winning spirit. Just people are kind of being in the Browns, just being kind of used to losing, and we had to change that around. We just have to feel like if we have a close game, at the end of the day, we can end up coming out on top.
I mean, if you could take any positive away, certainly the defense was consistently overall strong. You know, it wasn't playing great in all phases all the way through, but overall solid play, and especially in the latter part of the year, you were in games because the defense kept you in games.
Yeah, and I feel like we have a strong core with Ruben, with Jabal coming in young, with Big Phil, myself, TJ coming back next year, DeQuell. I just feel like as a unit, we have a really good defense, and everybody knows the position. Everybody feels comfortable. This was the first year with Dick. Dick is a hell of a coach, and we feel like when we have an off season with him, and just instead of learning the defense, we'll just be able to make adjustments and make changes, and everybody will understand when we come into the off season exactly what's going on, instead of coming in blind trying to figure out what's going on. And I think it'd be a really, really good season for us next year.
And Joe, a lot of us talked about that from time to time, the difficulties of not having that off-season work and dealing with a new coach, new system defensively with Dick Turan, as you just mentioned. And I don't know that we truly appreciated how hard that really was. As you look back on it, what were the difficulties of not being able to go through an off-season with a new defensive coordinator and a new scheme?
It's just at the same time, everybody's learning the system on the fly. Like my coach, Coach Henderson, when Coach Dick was putting in defenses, he's trying to teach it to us, not really knowing exactly what Dick wants us to do. And that's just the thing with everybody learning at the same time. Coaches learning, players learning. Coaches learning how coaches coach, player coaches learning how players play, and just have to feed off of each other. So I feel like once you get a whole season and once you get a whole off season, everybody knows each other now. We know what people's strengths are, we know people's weaknesses are, and with Coach Dick here come in next year and be able to make his defensive calls towards our strengths, and we'll be able to learn how he wants the defense to be played. So I think when we come in next year, it'll definitely be a whole different look. And glad that we were learning on the fly and still doing a really good job. So I feel like if everybody just comes in next year understanding what we know what Dick wants, he knows what we have, and it'd be a really good look.
Give me a little comparison for yourself. Rookie season, where you definitely turned some heads in 2010, to your second season in 2011. Kind of compare the progress you made and areas that you feel you need to work on.
I feel like the one thing that's really different is when Dick came, we played a whole lot more man-to-man. So I was talking to Dimitri Patterson. He was telling me how, you know, man-to-man coverage is way, it's a whole lot harder to get interceptions. You're guarding your man. You're just trying to make sure you don't get broke. He's running routes. You're just looking at him. There's a whole lot more pass breakups than man-to-man. You get interceptions, honestly, in zone coverage. So I think the one thing I had last year was we played a lot more zone. So I got to look, read, jump routes and stuff like that. But I think this year I improved a whole lot as far as with my man-to-man coverage, just being able to stay with one receiver, just playing him. And I think with me, Sheldon, D-Pat, Buster coming in, Coach was really confident in us playing man-to-man. So we were able to put more players in the box, trying to stop the run. And I think I improved this year just as far as a complete player playing man-to-man.
Browns cornerback Joe Hayden joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Joe, as you made those improvements in man-to-man, do you also feel you've got a comfort level that come next year you feel that you could fully embrace this and play this defense the way it needs to be played?
Oh, of course. I think everybody feels that same way. I feel like we just want to go home, just everybody just calm down, just relax, get football off your mind for a minute, but then come back next year with definitely that drive and ready to play.
And overall, do you see something that can be built upon? People are going to look at four wins and say, okay, that's a step back because you won five in 2010. What would give you the confidence? It's a young team, you know, guys like yourself, TJ coming back from his injury, TJ Ward in your same draft class, the young kids that were added with Phil Taylor, Jabal Sheard in this last draft. But what gives you some confidence that you can build on what you did this year?
Just how we were in every game. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was so close. We losing by four, we losing by three, by six. Last play of the game, we have a chance to win. I just feel like coming in next year, we have a really, really good team, and we're just a couple plays from being great, honestly. We're just a couple plays from being 8-8 or 9-7, anything like that, you know what I'm saying? So I just feel like the team, we have a really good team, we have a really solid team, and we just have to come in next year with a whole different mindset.
And when you see how well you played in those late season, twice against the Steelers, but then that rematch against the Ravens, excuse me, you were, the gap between you and the best in your division and maybe the best in the league didn't seem all that great. Even though they were still losses, I assume that might have given you some confidence.
Of course, I mean, a loss is a loss. At the same time, when you see you fighting, when you see your players competing, and you see the playoff teams like the Ravens, like the Steelers, and you're playing them to their very, very last play, I mean, it's not like our team is any slouches. We're not down by 30. We're not losing by 20. We're losing by 4 points to one of the best teams in your division, one of the best teams in the league, honestly. So, it gives you hope, but loss is a loss. But at the end of the day, it just shows you that we can play with the best. We can play with the best. We had the talent. We just got to come. We got to figure out a way to close it out.
Lesson, what's your primary goal individually for 2012? What do you want to see from Joe Hayden in 2012 with the Browns?
I just want to develop into one of the best corners in the league and do whatever I can do to help out the Browns. If it's backing up Chris, punt return, kick return, special teams, anything. I just want to do what I can do to help the team and basically be one of the best corners in the league.
Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that was Joe Hayden. And coming up next, we are going to break down the tight end position for the Browns from the 2011 season. Nate Ehrlich from the Akron Beacon Journal is going to help me do that on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Stick around for much, much more on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Vince, Owen, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Bama Heights, Vermillion,
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop in your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive dog pound bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature dog pound bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your dog pound buckets at the lube or swing through the pickup window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Celebrate the new year with a new device from Verizon, like the 4G LTE Pantech Breakout. Now only $49.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card. Plus, buy a new 4G LTE smartphone and you can double your data for the same low price. Visit any Verizon store, VerizonWireless.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Verizon. Requires new two-year activation and data pack. Early termination and other fees apply. Double your data applies to new activations or upgrades and data packs 2 gigabytes or higher. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your way. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game day. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
The following rules cover ESPN Cleveland contests, but may be amended by separate rules for specific contests. For each contest, you must meet eligibility requirements. No purchase necessary. Employees of Good Karma Broadcasting, ESPN Cleveland, its affiliates, partners, other radio stations in the metro area, and your immediate family members are ineligible. You must be a U.S. resident, 18 or older, living in Ohio. You can win a prize in an ESPN Cleveland contest only once every 60 days, or for a prize value over $600, only once every 6 months. Due to online streaming delays, online listeners may not be able to participate in on-air contests. One winner per household per contest. Prizes awarded pending verification of eligibility and are not transferable and cannot be exchanged or redeemed for cash. We reserve the right to substitute a prize of equivalent value if the prize or any part of the prize becomes unavailable. Decisions are final. Winner must present valid ID and information required for cash purposes. Winners must claim prizes in person within 30 days of winning. Winners must comply with all requirements and complete all releases or forfeit prize. Winners are responsible for all taxes. ESPN Cleveland isn't responsible for technical difficulties that may prevent you from completing a call or sending a text. For text contests, message and data rates may apply. These are your responsibility. For official rules, visit ESPN Cleveland Studios during regular business hours or online at ESPNCleveland.com.
So cold out. I can't wait for vacation this summer.
Tell me about it. That's why I've decided to get LASIK at LASIK Plus before we hit the beach. I'm really looking forward to getting buried in the sand and swimming with the kids because I could get rid of glasses and contacts.
I know. You might get 20/20 vision like many LASIK Plus patients. And Dr. Thomas has done over 19,000 procedures.
And it's totally affordable, takes just minutes, and it could completely change my life.
Just think how amazing snorkeling will be now that 20/20 vision is a possibility.
For your free LASIK exam, call 855-320-2020 or visit AskLASIKPlus.com. Don't wait another day. Look forward to the spontaneous sight of life with LASIK Plus. Attractive financing options are available. Call 855-320-2020 today. Not everyone will achieve 20/20 vision. Glasses may still be needed. Complications may include halos, glare, dry eyes, double vision, over or under treatment, ectasia, or vision loss. For details, visit AskLASIKPlus.com.
And we really appreciate that you've chosen to spend this portion of your Tuesday with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. And this segment, which will review the tight end position from the 2011 season, it's driven by Liberty Ford. And we're going to take a look at the tight end position from the 2011 season. And helping us to do that is Nate Ehrlich from the Akron Beacon Journal, covers the Browns. Nate, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Vic. It's a pleasure.
So, Nate, this position was, I mean, in training camp, before the season, a lot of focus that it was expected to really be a high-impact spot for the Browns, especially watching Evan Moore and the big plays he made in the preseason and looked like he would be, I thought, you know, a spectacular player this year. And it's not to say he didn't have some moments, but we really didn't see from the position, I don't think, what a lot of us had hoped to see or expected to see.
Yeah, he had by far the most production of his career.
Right.
But it didn't live up to all the hype, and it didn't live up to our expectations. In training camp, he was catching everything. And
yeah.
On all those red zone drills, he was the go-to guy without a doubt. And he wins jump ball after jump ball.
Absolutely.
And as you alluded to, I think two touchdowns in that one preseason game against the Lions really had a lot of people excited too. But it just never really panned out that way. I mean, there were a few games he wasn't even targeted. And, I know I asked Coach Shurmur about it. I know a lot of other people asked Coach Shermer about it. And it was one of those things where, you know, for whatever reason, we didn't really get the answer that we thought explained what had happened. And maybe the expectations that were formed in the preseason and training camp weren't fair.
Right.
But whatever the reason was, you know, he just wasn't using the offense the way we all had envisioned.
I mean, side by side, putting his 2011 season next to his 2010 season, there's improvement. You know, there are better numbers. And the guy finishes with 4 touchdown catches overall, and he gets, 34 catches, only 3 fewer than Ben Watson, who was the leading receiver on his team last year. But, yeah, you expect more. And in general, the position just looked like it was more ordinary. Now, in fairness, the passing game in general didn't generate a lot of fireworks. So I guess, you know, to expect the tight end position to be all that different from the rest maybe is not all that realistic. But overall, what were your thoughts on what you saw on a game-to-game basis and what you saw from the tight end spot? I mean, were opponents just, you know, it looked to me in a lot of cases maybe doing some things to take those guys away and really forcing the Browns, if they were going to do anything, to kind of throw it to the perimeter because maybe they didn't have that much faith in the receivers' ability to beat them or what?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think a lot of teams focused on Watson. Like you said, he led the team in catches in 2010 with 68 receptions. You know, he was the focal point of that offense in a lot of ways. And you got to remember, the thing about Watson is he's one of the best players on this team. There's only 5 guys on this team who are drafted in the first round, and he's one of them.
Yep.
So teams look at him, you know, and he's an established veteran, obviously even before he came here. So I think defenses do focus on him. And I think you're right. I think it ended up being a case where, you know, teams forced the Browns to go to the perimeter more often than not. And, you know, the targets just weren't there that we thought would be there. So, yeah, overall, the tight end position was a little bit of a disappointment, even though it might have, you know, Evan Moore made some strides in the big picture. But, again, didn't live up to all the hype that, you know, was placed upon him. And, you know, looking back at it, I think that, you know, heading into training camp, we all would have said tight ends is one of the strengths of this team. I think you would say tight end, offensive line, running backs, and defensive backs.
Yep.
Well, not all of those positions lived up to it, and tight ends didn't fall as short as some of the others, but it just wasn't quite there. And as you said, Vic, you know, overall offensive production wasn't there either.
Yeah, and particularly, again, in the passing game. And I think, too, looking at the other people involved in this position, Alex Smith, who certainly showed himself to be a good blocker at the position. And I guess we think of Ben Watson as being the most complete tight end that the Browns have, but I think Alex Smith made some strides as a blocker.
I think so, too. I think Alex Smith really showed a lot this season that he didn't get a chance to last season, you know, when he was inactive in all those games. And, you know, he's a guy who came here as an established veteran, was, for whatever reason, wasn't used in 2010 by Eric Mangini's staff, and then he got his chance this season. And if you watch any game with Alex Smith, and you're wondering in some of those games, why does he get so many reps, and you don't see Evan Moore, it's hard to take Alex Smith off the field. He plays so hard.
Yeah,
I mean, he's going out there and he's just getting after guys all the time. And you even saw it in the Cardinals game, December 18th, I believe it was, he suffered that sprained shoulder early in the game.
Right.
He came back and he played through it. He ends up going on injured reserve and, you know, missing the final 2 games. But that just shows his tenacity, you know, and his attitude and the way he's been able to establish himself as a player in this league.
No question about it. Nate Ehrlich is joining us. He covers the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal. We are reviewing the tight end position here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The team, of course, goes into the draft and brings in Jordan Cameron, who really athletically is similar, I guess, to Evan Moore. Maybe even overall you could see as a better athlete or a more of this basketball style tight end that is in vogue in the NFL and effective in the NFL. And I think we've seen moments where he has this ability, this rare skill that could certainly blossom for this football team. Right now, you only saw it in limited fashion, but I guess more glimpses of it toward the end of the year after Ben Watson suffers that season-ending concussion. You mentioned Alex Smith's injury. So the need, the desperation to get people on that field, the rookie was pushed out there, and I saw some things that looked promising.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think he's going to be a good player, and he is similar to Evan Moore. You know, you don't think of him as the, you know, great blocker that Alex Smith, you know, has established himself to be, but man, what an athlete. And we saw it in camp and preseason, and he just made play after play, and really flashed a lot, you know, as a rookie coming in. Again, you know, you said it, we didn't see it a lot in the regular season because of playing time or whatever, but he played in 8 games and he started the final 2. I think you just got a really, really, really small peek at what he can be.
Right.
And I think that you have to be impressed with what he is as an athlete and think that it could bode well for him in the future. But, you know, the key to him, just like the key to Evan Moore, and I think I keep going back to Evan Moore, but
yeah,
there's a lot of hype on both these guys, and we really, I think, as a group of reporters, were impressed by Jordan Cameron in the preseason, and obviously you didn't see as much of him in the regular season, and I think that both these guys, Evan Moore and Jordan Cameron, need to become better overall tight ends, and you know, Evan Moore said it, he needs to work on his blocking. He has tried to improve his blocking, and becoming more well-rounded is going to get him on the field more.
When you look at the scheme, when you look at this Pat Shurmur version of the West Coast offense, the tight end has a place as someone who can make a contribution, can be effective, because it is, of course, a lot of horizontal passing game or passing style. So that guy is going to run those routes where physically he can take the punishment over the middle. Obviously, it's a very physical division, physical defenses that you're going to face twice a year in the Ravens and Steelers and Bengals. But overall, I would say that's another thing is how this offense evolves. You're going to have a new offensive coordinator come in, and it'll be interesting to see how that guy sees the tight end position's role in the scheme and in the passing game.
Yeah, it will be, because, you know, when you look at the guys, they're big athletic guys, and when you look at that's the nature of the position, I know, but these guys stand out, and I think that these guys, there's 4 of them that are quality on this team, and I think it'd start for teams throughout the league. And I think that if you look at this group and you think about the production that they were expected to have, and then maybe they didn't, maybe the new offensive coordinator will, you know, shake things up a little bit and make Evan Moore the go-to guy that we all thought he would be.
Sure.
And, you know, Benjamin Watson, as you alluded to, 3 concussions in the season. That was unfortunate. He had to end the season on injured reserve, but expects to come back and, you know, play next season. And Jordan Cameron, obviously, he's a guy who, you know, is a rookie and is only going to get better. The one I'm looking at, Vic, is Alex Smith, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent. So it'll be interesting to see if he ends up back with this team. I think he certainly played well enough and showed that, you know, he has a role in Shurmur's offense and probably would with the new offensive coordinator, but that remains to be seen, obviously.
And signed, of course, at the very tail end of the season, I think with just a couple of games left, was Dan Gronkowski, who had been started his career with the Detroit Lions, bounced to the Denver Broncos, spent some time with his brother Rob with the New England Patriots, and then was picked up by the Browns again after the injuries to Watson and to Smith. And I'll say this about Dan Gronkowski: when he's at his very best, when you go back to his college years at Maryland, and I happen to know the guy very well, going back to his grade school days, just because he grew up and went to school with my kids back in Western New York. The guy can block when he's at full. And at Maryland, he was a bigger guy than he was in the NFL, and I think he was kind of asked to trim down and be just more of that lighter receiver type tight end. But I think the Browns are looking at him and saying, hey, if you can, you know, pack on more muscle and just get bigger when you come back to training camp, and, you know, presumably that's going to be the idea, is that he could compete as someone who could be a blocking guy there. And as you said, depending on what Alex Smith's future is, maybe he could fill that blocking role if the Browns do or don't have Alex in that role.
Yeah, maybe he could. And earlier I said four tight ends, but it's five. You know, I failed to add Gronkowski to the mix there. But yeah, he's got a big frame. I mean, he's a guy who, out of all these guys, he really stands out just in terms of physique. And he's a guy who, you know, obviously has bounced around a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you think if Alex Smith's gone, that definitely would open, you would think, a window for a guy like him, you know, a guy who can kind of fill that role is your key blocker at the position.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this position evolves. Great job of breaking it down, Nate. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks a lot, Vic.
Nate Ehrlich from the Akron Beacon Journal covers the Browns, helping us to do our position review of the tight end spot on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Did you know that Liberty has been part of the local community for over 30 years and has five locations throughout Northeast Ohio that are close, convenient, and easy to find? With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, guaranteed financing, and award-winning service departments in all locations, the Liberty experience is impossible to beat. Go to Liberty Ford today or visit libertyford.com.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop in your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive dog pound bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature dog pound bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your dog pound buckets at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Golic.
You know, part of being a real man is knowing how to take care of your car.
Then count me in as a man, Golic, because I know NTB is the place to go.
That's because NTB has the largest selection of name brand tires, and with over 1 million tires available every day, NTB always has the right tire for your car, truck, or SUV.
And don't forget, Golic, you can bring the car to NTB for all of your service needs, too. It's easy. They're open early, open late, and open 7 days a week.
So why pay outrageous prices when you can trust the professionally trained NTB technicians who are ASE certified? And I bet you didn't know, Greeny, that the best way to pay is with the NTB credit card that can be used at over 650 locations nationwide.
So, let's get the stats straight, Golic, because we know you're easily confused. NTB isn't just tires at great prices. They're vehicle maintenance, brakes, oil changes, repairs, and much, much more.
You got it, Greeny. NTB is keeping the world in perfect motion.
Everyone likes alternatives. We like to assess our options and choose the person or place or item that is right for us. Sometimes, this means that we need to go outside of the box and try something new in order to perhaps obtain something better. This is Robin Trzynski, and if you are not comfortable on a traditional inner spring mattress, you might want to try an alternative sleep product. At the Original Mattress Factory, we have two latex foam models and now offer a new memory foam mattress. The latter is constructed with 4 inches of high-density memory foam and features a specially formulated airflow layer to reduce heat transfer and response time. These layers create a unique feel while still imparting the temperature and pressure-sensitive characteristics of memory foam. As far as quality is concerned, our Serenity model is equivalent to our top-of-the-line innerspring and latex models. Give it a try and determine if it's the right alternative for you. It might just be the perfect end to your everyday.
The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp.
And we're back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Browns fans, deposits for 2012 season tickets and club level memberships are now being accepted. To place your deposit today, call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com. And this tight ends by the numbers segment, review of 2011, is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube.
Now it's time to take a closer look at the numbers at the tight end position as we continue to review the performance of the Browns tight ends in 2011. And helping us to do that is Matt Florjancic. Matt, right off the bat, Evan Moore's performance is one that catches the attention because of the 4 touchdowns he had and because of the high expectation that he would be such a a big factor, I guess, in the Browns' receiving game. That never really materialized in terms of total catches, but he was or was increasingly becoming an effective target in the red zone, which is what this offense is designed for.
Yeah, and really what you look at from Evan Moore is the fact that he's got the body type of a tight end, but he also has the talent and the size to split out as a wide receiver and get an advantage against a DB, and I think that's what everybody was so excited about when they saw him on the roster coming into training camp this year. They really felt that he could be that guy that could split out if necessary and really provide a dual threat for this team. Unfortunately, we didn't see it as much from Moore as we would have liked. This year was a little bit of a growing pains year for him. He didn't have the success that he had in previous years, and his hands seemed to betray him at times. There were a couple of plays that he left on the field that I think he and the coaching staff would like to see him get back next year. One that comes to mind was against the Baltimore Ravens in Cleveland on December 4th. Browns were driving down. They hadn't scored yet in the game. They were going to cut a deficit to 10-7 if Moore could hold on to a touchdown pass. Unfortunately, he dropped it, and they had to settle for a field goal. But he still did some nice things for this team. And when you look at Evan Moore, what he's able to do and what he brings to the team, he could really have a good year going forward. And they locked him up for a long-term extension or earlier in camp. So he's one of those guys that's going to be in the fold for a while.
You look at Ben Watson, of course, he was the leading receiver on the Browns a year ago, suffers the concussion this year on December 8th against the Steelers, cutting his season short. But when you look at his overall contribution, it too wasn't the same as a year ago, but still an effective player.
You're looking at Watson's numbers in two different offensive systems, and one he was really familiar with coming over, working with Brian Daboll and Eric Mangini, similar to what they had done in his entire career in New England. Then he's in the West Coast this year, and he really proved to be productive in both the run and the pass game. Caught 37 receptions, the third most on the year, or on a team rather, and the most among the tight ends. Gained 310 yards and two touchdowns. Ben Watson is just that ultimate professional. He's the consummate pro, the guy that's going to come in and lead a group of players. And I don't think there's anybody better at leading a team, leading a group of tight ends than Ben Watson. The way he's been able to take this young group, and it's an inexperienced group, and really kind of mold them and put them in positions where they can make plays. If he and Alex Smith can't do it, that's really something to be said about his leadership skills.
Hard to get a numbers story about Alex Smith because primarily his presence is that of a blocker. But there is one to tell to some degree. And in terms of production for Alex Smith, I would think this was, easily was a better year for him than he had had previously with Tampa Bay.
It is his best season statistically since the 2008 season with the Bucs. He caught 14 passes for 131 yards and one touchdown. And the stat I think you're talking about in terms of being an important one for Smith was the fact that he broke a nearly three-year-long scoring drought after playing just 19 games combined between 2009 and 2010. Like you said, though, solid effort in the run-blocking game, and we really saw him develop as the season went on in terms of being a pass-catching threat, and that's what you want to see out of your tight end, a guy that's able to block well in the run game and able to stretch a defense and maybe catch a couple of passes over the middle or on a seam route and really cause some havoc in the secondary.
The Browns clearly have some high hopes. Well, you say this about a lot of rookies, but in the case of Jordan Cameron, was drafted a very athletic player in college at USC and a player that the Browns believe, I think, can be one of the real catalysts long-term at the tight end position. So he got to see the field this year on a limited basis, more so toward the end of the season when injuries took Ben Watson and Alex Smith out of the lineup.
Well, the thing with Jordan Cameron is he's a very athletically gifted player. I think he brings a great skill set, and the fact that he was a former basketball player, converted over to football. We've seen that translate well for certain guys, especially at the tight end position with a guy like Antonio Gates. I think he's kind of set the standard for basketball players converting to football tight ends.
Right.
Not to say his Cameron will be that good, but he has the potential to be. And we saw later on in the year as he was active for half the games that the Browns played, missed the Baltimore and Pittsburgh games in early December, but when Watson went down, he was up for the Arizona game, had a career-high 3 receptions for 8 yards in that contest, and got his most extended playing time, I think. And that's what you wanted to see. As the season went on, he gradually got more playing time, and he made the most of some of those opportunities. Would he have loved to have more catches or gain more yards? Absolutely. But still, there's a foundation there, and he's still raw in learning this position. And I think that's where a guy like Benjamin Watson and a guy like Alex Smith will come in handy for Jordan Cameron, because he can get in their ear and get in there and get in the film room with them and really learn a position.
Great stuff, Matt. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Vic.
All right. That is Matt Florjancic from ClevelandBrowns.com, staff writer. Check his great workout on the website, breaking down the numbers, and he'll continue to do this as we review position by position the Browns from 2011. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design, third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself, or visit LibertyFord.com.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific running game, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to EA.com/MaddenNFL.
Cleveland Browns Stadium and the Browns Training Facility have just the right spaces to help make your next private event a masterpiece. The Browns offer up to 30 unique and inviting venues that can make your wedding, bar and bat mitzvah, holiday party, prom, or other social or corporate event a success. For more information on how you can host your next private event with the Browns, call 440-824-6162 or visit clevelandbrowns.com.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
The following rules cover ESPN Cleveland contests, but may be amended by separate rules for specific contests. For each contest, you must meet eligibility requirements. No purchase necessary. Employees of Good Karma Broadcasting, ESPN Cleveland, its affiliates, partners, other radio stations in the metro area, and your immediate family members are ineligible. You must be a U.S. resident, 18 or older, living in Ohio. You can win a prize in an ESPN Cleveland contest only once every 60 days, or for a prize value over $600, only once every 6 months. Due to online streaming delays, online listeners may not be able to participate in on-air contests. One winner per household per contest. Prizes awarded pending verification of eligibility and are not transferable and cannot be exchanged or redeemed for cash. We reserve the right to substitute a prize of equivalent value if the prize or any part of the prize becomes unavailable. Decisions are final. Winner must present valid ID and information required for cash purposes. Winners must claim prizes in person within 30 days of winning. Winners must comply with all requirements and complete all releases or forfeit prize. Winners are responsible for all taxes. ESPN Cleveland isn't responsible for technical difficulties that may prevent you from completing a call or sending a text. For text contests, message and data rates may apply. These are your responsibility. For official rules, visit ESPN Cleveland Studios during regular business hours or online at ESPNCleveland.com.
Hey, the Roadman, Kenny Rhoda here, and are you ready for the snow? The team at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge is, as they want to make you a deal you can't refuse. Like the 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport, lease it right now starting as low as $259 a month for 36 months with no money down. That's crazy. I'm driving one of these babies right now and loving it. The look, the way it handles, the all-weather capability, and it's a trail-rated vehicle so I can go anywhere and do anything in my 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport. Come check out what I'm talking about. Take it for a test drive at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the historic Bedford Auto Mile. Maybe you're not into leases. You want to buy? Even better. How about a starting price of $20,500 on that brand new 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport? Only at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the Bedford Auto Mile. So come take advantage of it. Save big. Hurry. These prices won't last. Call today for more info. 440-232-2121 and tell them the Roadman sent you.
Camp Bow Wow wants to give your dog the chance to pick the winner of the big game in February on NFL Roundtable during the Really Big Show. Enter your best friend at any of the five Camp Bow Wow locations in Bedford Heights, Cuyahoga Falls, Highland Heights, Strongsville, or Westlake. The winning dog will represent Camp Bow Wow in studio on the Really Big Show to pick who will win the big game. More prizes from Camp Bow Wow will be available as well. Be sure to enter your dog to appear on the Really Big Show. For more information, log on to campbowwow.com.
Thompson to Buford, right wing, rifles a three, Buford, bullseye.
ESPN 850, WTNR is your home for Ohio State basketball.
Triple team to Sullinger, dribbles, looks to get out of it, holds on to it, left block, left point, Seibert, fires a three, got it.
Catch the Buckeyes here all season as Jared Sullinger tries to lead the Buckeyes back to the Big Dance.
Shot clock at one, fadeaway left corner, Sullinger, do it!
Ohio State basketball is brought to you by 4B Wood Custom Cabinets, PJ McIntyre's Irish Pub, Bedford Nissan, and ESPN 850 WKNR.
So glad that you're with us tonight on Cleveland Browns Daily. Glad you're with us every night. But those of you who are a part of this show, yeah, really appreciate you being here. And we're going to answer the questions that you submit to us. This is driven by Liberty Ford, this Ask Vic portion of the show. You submit the questions to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages. Just as Tammy has done via Facebook. Tammy asks, if you had to call it now, who's starting the 2012 season for the Browns at quarterback? Colt, Seneca, or draft pick slash free agent? Right now, holding my feet to the fire, Tammy, I'm going to say Colt McCoy. I'm going to say Colt McCoy, even if this team, and it will end up with a new quarterback via draft or free agency, or perhaps one from each avenue of player selection. I think McCoy is going to be, at the very most, the starter continuing and going forward for a whole season, and just depending on him to be the guy and trusting him to do that and enhance around him, or he will be the bridge for the young guy that's brought in, and the hope would be to let that guy watch, learn, and not push him out there, although that's not very much a true trend in the NFL. Obviously, we saw with the likes of Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, especially if a player's taken in that upper echelon, that first round, those guys hit the field pretty quickly, and rookies did. And we still have a rookie quarterback, T.J. Yates, in the playoffs for the Houston Texans, although that was not by design. That was through injury, obviously. Perry asks, should the Browns have cheerleaders? I like this one. I feel that they could do a lot in the community, be a welcome distraction from the often abysmal play on the field. Well, Perry, I would say this. There's something about me that likes the tradition of, and I know years ago there were, what do they call them? The dance squad, I think, something like that, that the Browns had many years ago. And it wasn't cheerleaders in the modern sense, quite obviously, that we know now, which is more entertainment. And as you put it, truly distraction, what it's meant to be in terms of the whole sight and sound, mostly sight, I guess, for the whole football stadium experience. But I think the teams that have stayed true, like the Browns, like the Steelers, that have stayed true to not having cheerleaders, there's something to be just said for that. I don't, and I'm not really sure what that is, other than, you know, staying true to your traditional roots. I'm not saying I don't enjoy seeing, you know, cheerleaders at other teams, at other games. That is not my point, and I have nothing against the notion. But you asked me specifically for the Browns, and you know, you almost say, hey, good for you to not conform, to be a quote holdout. And I know, you know, it's been brought up and talked about through the years within that organization. It always is. Steelers, same thing. But they hold firm to their, you know, to whatever it is that the thought process of standing pat. This is via Twitter at D-Choice Fashion. Browns, is it possible, or is it a possibility, that they would draft Robert Griffin III? And of course, all reports are that he is coming out of Baylor, going to enter the draft. I don't think
I'm not sitting here right now thinking that's a realistic thought. I don't have any true feel for how the Browns feel about the guy or any quarterback for that matter. Not been brought into those meetings or invited to them, not expecting to, or those discussions. But I would say that my sense is that there are probably more questions than answers regarding Robert Griffin and his place in the NFL. I think a lot of teams are going to need to study more, see more. You know, is he the tallest guy? Has he got the ideal height you want? That's going to come up. He's got other athletic skills. He's got a lot of athletic skills, and he can be dynamic. But I think you also have to have the right situation for him offensively. I don't think that's what the Browns do, just based on, you know, on what I see. George, the Browns couldn't take advantage of a fairly easy schedule this year and only pick up 4 wins. Are you expecting next season's schedule to be harder, the same, easier? And what game are you looking forward to the most? George, I would say that it's all relative. Your expectations of what it's always based, of course, when you talk about ease or strength of schedule, I should say, it's based on the previous year's records. And I often find that to be meaningless because so much changes from one year to the next in terms of roster. And how do you, you know, how do you kind of keep up with that? I mean, how do you judge that now? How do I sit here now and say I know precisely that, you know, the Buffalo Bills, for instance, who are on the Browns schedule, or the Chargers, the Redskins, some of those teams, Dallas, Giants, you know, how they'll be from one year to the next because of so much change that can occur via the usual means, draft, free agency, players coming, players going. And just seeing what the level of improvement is going to be. Every year you got it's consistently 5 new teams enter the playoff picture. What's that tell you about the league? It tells you that the good teams, the presumptive good teams aren't as good the following year. You see a Super Bowl team, a perennial Super Bowl contender like the Steelers get bounced in round one by the Broncos. Bounced out. From Twitter at Ace O Fastbeds, yeah, 2021. I think Evan Moore should get more playing time in 2012. Ace of Spades, 2021. Good. It's a little, yeah. Let's clean this up a little bit. Just got cut and should have been cut and pasted a little differently there. It's on 3 lines. Anyway, I think Evan Moore should get more playing time. Okay, do I agree? Ace of Spades, 2021. It's not about the PT. It's about the production. It's about the production. It's about seeing him, when he's on the field, do more. I don't think his time, it's a, you know, I don't think it's a case of a guy not being on the field long enough. But when he's out there, and he's been out there and, say, not targeted as many times as a lot of us would have hoped or thought, and that was a big focus of the show, going over the tight end position and lacking, seeing a player who lacked production to the extent that, you know, he had 4 touchdown catches but was not the highly productive player that a lot of us thought he would be in the preseason. But it's not a function of not seeing the field as much. Again, it's what you're doing when you're out there. And I think as I look at this tight end position and how it really fits in the grand scheme of the Browns offense, I'd say it is more about complementary to the receiver's position. I think more times than not, what you saw this year with receivers leading the team in receptions, 2 being Greg Little and Josh Cribbs, the top 2, that's more consistent with what this offense is, tacking more of the perimeter and tight ends being the guys who get things done in the red zone and in those sort of selective situations. At Lee Smith, Twitter, I don't know about you, but I can feel the balance of power shifting in the AFC North. The Browns and Bengals will lead. Well, I like your optimism, at Lee Smith, and at 92. And you saw, of course, the Bengals make the playoffs. It didn't last long, but they did make the playoffs. And you see, of course, the Ravens are still in the playoffs. Steelers are out of the playoffs.
Browns looked a little bit stronger toward the end of last year. Do we realistically see them moving into the hierarchy of the AFC North? I'm not ready to say that for 2012, maybe in 2013. We want to thank Joe Hayden and Nate Ehrlich and Matt Forjancic, Pat McKenna, and Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer. We will see you again tomorrow night on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.